This is the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast with Dr. K. Daniel Freed, coming to you from Powder Springs, Georgia, USA, reaching the nation of Israel, God's chosen people, the Jews, with the good news of their Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lord Jesus Christ, speaking out against anti-Semitism while promoting love for Israel, God's ancient people, the apple of his eye. Believing in what the Holy Scriptures say in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, I will bless them that bless thee. Preaching from God's holy word, the King James Bible, the prophetic truths of the second coming of our Lord, blowing the trumpet in Zion and warning God's people and the nations about the judgment to come, exposing apostasy and the developing one-world antichrist system. Stay tuned for this hour with the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast. This is News and Analysis with Dr. K. Daniel Freed. Well, are our religious liberties eroding? Well, they continue to erode. I reported on a lot of that information a few broadcasts ago, but we see evidence all around our country, the United States of America, of religious freedoms, especially targeting, it seems, Bible-believing Christians. Now, we know in other countries, Christians do not have any liberty whatsoever. I'm afraid that this country, if we continue down the road of our liberties eroding, we will find ourselves in the same despicable condition that is found in other countries. It was reported some time ago in the country of Sudan that literally hundreds of thousands of professing Christians have been killed or tortured, and definitely they have been persecuted in ways that are totally repugnant. And obviously any type of persecution is unacceptable. But independent Bible-believing churches across America are in situations where bank loan offices are refusing to grant loans because the bank has created new policies that bar any independent Bible-believing churches to receive a loan. In fact, in Florida, a bank loan officer had refused to grant a loan on the basis of such a new policy, even though the bank loan officer was impressed with the church's credit and the church was actually ahead on mortgage payments for a previous loan. So what you see here is, you got it, discrimination. This is religious bigotry, especially aimed against Bible-believing Christians that God used to found this country. Now, on the other hand, there are some encouraging news. For example, that Christian employees in Connecticut were permitted to use their company's conference room for prayer. They had initially been told they couldn't use the conference room for prayer, but company officials changed their minds in less than an hour after receiving legal information from the CLA. And they have been used in many, many cases across America to fight for the freedoms of especially Bible-believing Christians. Another victory is that a large national company in Florida agreed to accommodate a warehouse of employees' religious conviction against working on Sundays after the employee had been rescheduled to a shift that included Sunday work. Attorneys were able to point this employee to the company's policy regarding religious accommodation, and when the employee had taken this national policy to his local supervisors, they agreed to continue to permit him to have Sundays off. I sure thank God for that. Another victory was seen in Oklahoma. Government work in Oklahoma had his reprimand dismissed after attorneys had gotten involved. These are CLA attorneys, Christian Law Association. This worker had shared a Bible study outline with an independent contractor while on the job, and his supervisor officially reprimanded him for misusing his official position for private gain. When the supervisor could not justify to attorneys how this action had provided a personal gain for the employee, the supervisor agreed to withdraw the reprimand and acknowledged in writing that government workers have the right to share their faith with independent contractors, so long as it is clear that religious viewpoints have no bearing on the awarding or evaluation of contracts. A public school worker in California was permitted to keep her mouse pad with a Bible verse on it next to her computer after the worker shared with her supervisor a witnessing at work leaflet. Now, can you imagine having a problem with a mouse pad with a Bible verse on it? I mean, this is obnoxious. The supervisor told her that the mouse pad violated, can't believe it, the separation of church and state. But the attorneys pointed out that the school children did not visit her office and her mouse pad was not displayed in such a way to be considered a government endorsement of religion. This worker had as much right to display the mouse pad with a religious message on it as co-workers had to display a mouse pad with a secular message. The religious mouse pad was not prohibited by the Establishment Clause, but was protected under the Free Speech Clause of the First Amendment. Oh, mercy, where have we come to? Another employee in South Carolina was permitted to continue to pass out gospel tracts during his breaks at work after the attorneys educated his employer on the necessity for equal treatment of religious workers. Other workers were permitted to distribute other material during their free time at work. A recent ruling by a judge in Florida that protected employees' right to discuss religion in the workplace with interested fellow workers. When this employee was fired for answering co-workers' questions about religion, he filed a discrimination charge against his employer. The judge hearing his case found that the evidence clearly established he was fired because of his religion and the company had made no effort to accommodate his sincerely held religious belief that he must share the Word of God in his everyday life. The State Civil Rights Commission approved the judge's findings and ordered the company to pay the maximum relief allowable by law. Well, hallelujah for that. What about that? And I encourage any one of our listeners, if you're a Bible-believing Christian and you're having problem at work or in government, and to have these freedoms that have been constitutionally allowed, then you ought to get some Christian attorney, and I would prayerfully have you consider the Christian Law Association, and you can find them on the website, and they would probably help you. I'm sure they would help you if you have a legitimate case. Now, on the other hand, we still have problems out there. For example, a grocery store manager in North Carolina who has been told he must begin to work on Sundays even though he was hired with the stipulation that his religion would not permit him to do that. How about a man in Alaska who was fired after telling his supervisors he was offended by pornography displayed in his workplace? And another situation, a worker in Illinois was ordered to remove a card displayed with a Bible verse and prayer on it after company officials did an inspection of everyone's cubicles to see if there was anything in them that might offend someone. So these are real problems that are occurring in everyday workplace and throughout our land. I bring these things up because I know that our religious freedom and the freedom of speech is quickly eroding. We're not just talking about things that are morally offensive. Now, that's another case altogether. We're talking about the freedom to declare the Word of God. Yet we see another man in Georgia who's been told that he is not permitted to read his Bible at work during lunch break. Now, I'll tell you something. That is absolutely nonsense. And that's obnoxious is what it is. That's lunchtime. Doesn't belong to your company. It don't belong to Uncle Sam. It belongs to that person's free time. Now, this is the kind of nonsense going out in our country today. How about a bivocational pastor in Missouri who is being told that he has to work on Sundays? Can you believe that? Despite the fact that he has worked at the same business for 12 years and has always had Sundays off. Well, you know there's discrimination going on there. So these are things we need to pray about, that God would deliver us from wicked devices and wickedness in our land. God help America. You've been saying God bless America. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying God help America. I'm telling us today that if we sit idle and do nothing, you will have no reason to ever complain about your freedoms being kidnapped and mutilated. So we better exercise our constitutional right and speak up about this and get some help. And this goes right along with all kinds of things. And we need to do something about it. And if you're a United States citizen, you ought to speak up about this and you ought to do something about it if you see it happening in your community. And we need to pray especially for those who are Bible believers in other countries who are suffering. And they're under great, great persecution. Remember now, when you're sitting on a padded pew in your church, remember now that there are Bible-believing Christians all around the world. Many of them are in prison. Right now, as I'm speaking, there are those who are being tortured for Christ. That's right. They're being tortured at the hands of God-haters, Jew haters, Bible haters, and Christ haters. Now, you might be a Jewish person listening to the broadcast, and you say, well, I thought this was about the Jew, and I thought it was about Israel. Yes, it is, my friend. It is. It's all about the Jew and all about Israel, because if the Christians in this country are put to silence, you'll no longer have a friend to speak on your behalf. That's what the Hope Israel Baptist broadcast is all about. Now, changing our gear, and I like to talk about Islam just for a few moments. Islam and the city of Jerusalem. Jerusalem is not specifically mentioned by name in the Quran, though it is alluded to in Surah 72:1. Later tradition states that Jerusalem was the site to which Muhammad was taken by the angel Gabriel, where he met Abraham, Moses, and Jesus and led them in prayer. He was allegedly taken to the seven heavens from the Dome of the Rock, which, by the way, none of this was ever witnessed by anybody. Compared in contrast to the Lord Jesus Christ, who was witnessed, his resurrection was witnessed by over 500. But if Jerusalem is not explicitly referred in the Quran, why is there so much controversy at present over the ownership of that city? Yeah, that's a good question. One could write many pages on answering this question. But the comments by David Dolan are noteworthy. After living in Jerusalem for several years, he says, and talking to hundreds of Muslims, it finally dawned on me, this is the place on earth, not Mecca or Medina, where they believe that Islam demonstrated for all the world to see that it is the, quote, the final revelation of truth, unquote. It was here in the city I have called home since the 1980s that the Islamic faith affirmed its self-professed superiority over Judaism and Christianity. Indeed, the Muslims believe that their military conquest of Jerusalem in A.D. 637 was the ultimate testament that their religion is true and the other two faiths flawed, as the Quran insists is the case. Surely, they say, it was none other than Allah himself who delivered the holiest city of both older faiths into their anxious jihad-stained hands. As I continue now, though this vindication of Islam suffered a temporary setback in the loss of the city to the Crusaders, Islam quickly regained its control of Jerusalem. The real problem for Islam, however, was the formation of the Jewish state in 1948. Dolan writes that local Arab Muslims have long called Israel's incredible reappearance on the modern world stage in the face of an all-out military attempt by several Arab states to prevent it, al-Nakba, meaning the catastrophe. Now, present-day Islamic fervor, Islamic fundamentalism, is a reference to the revival of traditional Islamic beliefs along with the honoring of unusual feats of heroism and bravery for the cause, mingled with religious, political, and social objectives. The mingling of these various objectives is seen in the founding of the first Islamic fundamentalist organization, the Muslim Brotherhood, in 1928. Hassan al-Banna, the founder, called attention to the many Western vices which were ruining Egyptian society and developed an Islamic social welfare system that was independent of the British-controlled government. The Brotherhood established schools for boys and girls and opened small-scale local industries that provided employment for the unemployed. It quickly grew in the popularity and support. Following World War II, the Brotherhood established branches in neighboring Islamic countries and vigorously pursued its goal of creating a multinational Islamic union. In the latter decades of the 20th century, some Muslim leaders became increasingly disenchanted with Western rule and sought to establish a government that was in conformity with Islamic law, consistent with the principles of fundamentalism, that's Muslim, Islamic fundamentalism, as being a return to the right way. Religious and political leaders who refused to support the objectives of Islamic fundamentalism became, quote, enemies of God. We're giving you here a little history lesson on Islam. The assassination of Egyptian President Anwar Sadat on October 6, 1981 is an example of how such enemies, quote, are to be treated. On that day, as Mr. Sadat sat in the stands viewing a military parade, the president felt a measure of peace, an accomplishment. Egyptian-Israeli relations were improving. The Egyptian economy was on the mend, and Sadat believed he was victorious over all opposition to his leadership following the mass arrest of his opponents a month earlier. As Sadat chatted with foreign dignitaries, one of the trucks that was parading by the viewing stands pulled out of the convoy and stopped. Perhaps it was having mechanical problems. Suddenly, however, a Saki officer followed by three riflemen rushed the viewing stands. There was the sudden crackle of gunfire and the thud of exploding grenades. One of the attackers pumped bullets into Sadat's lifeless body for 45 seconds. The fury had declared itself. Someone did not like Sadat's liberalizing policies. Sadat wanted Egypt to be a leader in the Arab world, but he attempted to bring that about in a manner that was far different from that of his predecessor, Nasser. The latter had delivered strong ties with the Soviet Union for the purpose of securing foreign funds, planes, and weapons. Sadat severed those ties and turned to the United States, something that many knew ultimately meant making peace with one of our allies, Israel. These fears were confirmed when Sadat went to Jerusalem and spoke before the Israeli Knesset asking for peace and understanding. That trip ultimately led to the signing of the Camp David Accords. So, where did they go from there? Reuters News Service for March 5, 2001 reports that the Taliban leaders in Afghanistan had vowed to destroy all religious statues in their country, including two large ancient Buddhas, one towering 175 feet and the other 120 feet, carved into sandstone cliffs. The statues are priceless because of their antiquity. Despite protests from around the world, a withering barrage of rockets and artillery shells were fired at the statues. Well, I'm going to have to just tell you this. It don't bother me that they blew those things up, because they're idols. That's exactly right. Taliban religious leader Mullah Muhammad Omar is a devout Islamic purist. He dismissed the worldwide criticism and said, "I asked the Muslim people of Afghanistan not to be afraid of the infidels' pressure. I asked Afghans and the world's Muslims to use their sound wisdom. Do you prefer to be a breaker of idols or a seller of idols?" Now, I'm not condoning whatsoever of what the Taliban had done, because that's already history, and the Taliban is really history too. But I hope you understand, I'm giving you some history as what is happening today in Islamic fundamentalism, and what motivates them to do what they do. And it ought to put some believers to shame. We call this a Christian country, and we got Buddhas and all kinds of idols all throughout our country. You know what? That's not only against the Bible, it's against the moral principles of the founding fathers of this country. So you're telling me that we should go and destroy all that? Well, that's the government's responsibility to do that. We shouldn't tolerate that. That's idol worship. Idol worship. That's against the Ten Commandments, by the way. See, what's happening is we're giving our enemies reason, and almost justifying reason, to attack us and to do things against us because we as a country are allowing wickedness to permeate our society. Now, it doesn't justify anything what they've done. No matter what they have done does not justify their actions of violence against our country. It's up to our country to take care of this stuff. That's right. I wonder what George Washington would have said if we would erect a gigantic Buddha. I'll tell you one thing, they wouldn't have tolerated it. You know, if you've ever been in Atlanta, Georgia, we got images, naked images out there, right in the city of Atlanta, Georgia. I believe Charleston, North Carolina, some time ago, and again, they have these statues of naked women and it's just wicked. I mean, and that's supposed to be a Christian, dominated by Christian people in the city of Charleston. And they got these statues right there in the very center of that city. I'm telling you what, that is obnoxious. And they'll say, well, this is artwork. No, it's not artwork. It is absolute profanity of the highest sort. I mean, it is blatant nakedness. That's an abomination to God. And we got some idols we need to tear down in this country. That's right. We sure have idols. And we find in the Bible that God raised up judges in the Bible to do such things just like that. You say, the Bible doesn't say we can't have a big, big Buddha out there. Oh, is that right? Well, according to the Bible now, in Exodus chapter 20, God said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. So right there, we can cross out Buddhism, Mohammedanism, we can cross out Confucianism, and any other ism out there that has developed a false religion against the holy oracles of God, the Bible. And the Bible says, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Well, you say, well, Christians have their idols. They have a statue of Mary. They have a statue of the saint this, saint that, saint this. And they say, we see Christians bowing down and kissing their feet and their hands and their rings. I'll tell you something. That's against the Bible, too. All idolatry is against the Bible. Well, anyway, I'm going to just have to spend more time on images, idols, and this kind of thing at a later date. But I continue now regarding Islam, and I got to finish this up so we can get to the next half of the broadcast. I want you folks, our listening audience, to hear the remainder of the message by a preacher on why he loves Israel so much. But anyway, I've been reading on this article about Islam. There also have been repeated attacks against Jewish holy sites. The Biblical Archaeological Review had featured an article entitled Holy Targets. It described the October 7, 2000 destruction of Joseph's tomb. The limestone memorial shown here was built in 1860. In the 1860s, perhaps on the site of an early structure, recent press photos record its destruction. Palestinians destroy Hebrew texts found inside, throw a Molotov cocktail at the tomb and lay claim to the building, which they have begun to dismantle stone by stone. The tomb was later set on fire. All of this militancy raises a sobering question about the estimated 6 million Muslims in America. In the event of a war, will they fight for us or against us? Islamic influence is growing at a rapid rate. Recent 9 states in Nigeria, Africa's most populous nation, have adopted Sharia or Islamic law. In the many parts of the world, demonstrations of public devotion to the Islamic State are increasing in size and number. However, in a new report by the U.S. Center for the World Mission, there is evident good news concerning the work of the gospel in Muslim lands. While the scope of Islamic influence is growing, the statistics indicative of this growth are not revealing the whole story. In terms of pure numbers, Islam's growth rate of 2.15% annually exceeds Christianity's rate, and that's so-called Christianity's rate, of 1.45%. But while 96% of the growth of Islam can be attributed to biological growth, the birth of children born in Islamic families, the number of conversions to Christianity far exceeds the increase in the number of new followers of Islam. But what does biblical Christianity offer a Muslim? According to a Mission Frontiers report, the promise of sure foundation is one of the most important factors that makes a relationship with Christ irresistible. The report states one Indonesian woman was taught in her Islamic family that the bridge to heaven was as thin as a piece of hair. This tradition is found in the canonical collection of the activities and sayings of Muhammad. Even good deeds, she was taught, would not assure her of crossing safely into paradise. This hair-thin bridge was difficult and dangerous to cross. For her, a key factor in coming to faith in Christ, hey, by the way, the Jewish Messiah, was the realization that she could not save herself. Only the blood of Christ, the Jewish Messiah, could redeem her. Now, for the sake of time, I'm going to get right into the remainder of the message by preacher Randy Dagan, who preached a great message on why he loves Israel so much. The news items reported from the Prophetic Observer. Now, stay tuned for this great message. Why I love Israel.
Bill Clinton. You know why the Palestinians even hated Clinton? Because even Clinton had the sense to say, I better leave Israel alone. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. These are Palestinian guns pointing at Clinton's face. Here's the one that really, this makes me happy. People wonder why, but this makes me happy. Here's Muslims. What are they walking on? What's that? Oh, glory. What's that? Star of Israel. Why does that make you happy, preacher? Because they hate America and Israel. We're together, amen. We're together still. That's why they hate us. All right, what's this one now? Okay, here's just a dead body laying on the street. How many of y'all could wake up one morning and see that in Jefferson City? Here's another one that makes me happy. What are they burning? What's that? What's that? Israel flag. You'd be amazed how many people don't even know that's Israel's flag. I've talked to people over the past few weeks. You know what Israel flag looks like? Duh, yellow and black, something like that. People have no clue. Yeah, right. Do you think Tom Brokaw, Dan Rather, and Peter Jennings let me give this presentation on news tomorrow night, 6 o'clock? Do you think they'd let me? No, you know why? Because the devil is starting to turn America's heart against Israel. Now, people say, preacher, well, good, let him do that, because that means the end times are coming. You're right. You're right, that's true. But my Bible still commands me to love Israel. My Bible still commands me to support Israel. And the longer we support Israel, the more God may spare America. And the longer God spares America, the more souls can be saved. That's why. That's why I believe it. Now get ready to shout. After World War II, many Jews started heading back. 1945, they started heading back. 1948, they became a nation again. I heard a preacher told me this story just recently. He said he was in an airport. Boy, you get ready to shout. He's in the airport the other day, and he was sitting there, and a Jew sat down beside him, and the Jew said to him, sir, who are you? And he says, I'm a Baptist preacher, and they began to talk. And he says, I just can't figure this out. I'm a multimillionaire. Of course, a lot of them are. They got a lot of character. It's like God sent his son through the Jewish religion. They got more character than Gentiles do. Anyway, So he says I'm a multimillionaire. My family, my grandfather, my father, and myself own a bunch of clothing stores in New York City. He says I'm a multimillionaire. I drive the best cars. I have the best suits. I've got everything a man could ask for. But you know what? I'm selling everything I have, liquidating it all, because I for some reason I got to go back to Israel. Woo-hoo! Turn to Ezekiel chapter 37. How does that make you happy, preacher? Because the Bible called it. The Bible called it. Why would a man want to leave America, go to a piece of desert land over in Israel? You know why? The Bible said when the end time comes, God's going to call his people back home. Israel's heading back. Israelites and Jews, by the way, America houses most of the Jews. That's one reason they hate us too. We have a lot of Jews in our country. In fact, I just heard a statistic recently that said we have more Jews in our country than Israel has in their own country. We've got a lot of Jews here. We've been good to them. Not for long though. But Ezekiel chapter 37 verses 21 and 22, the Bible says verse 21, and saying to them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whether they be gone, and will gather them on every side, and bring them into their own land, and I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king to them all, and they shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all. Has that happened yet? No, it's getting ready to happen. They're coming together now. They're one nation. They're not divided into two kingdoms anymore. They're together. Now, so that Baptist preacher in the airport, sitting down by that Jew, started crying. And he said, sir, you may not understand, but I sure understand what's going on. God's calling you all back home. Hallelujah. Look at Ezekiel chapter 38. Ezekiel chapter 38. Well, I love Israel because God told me to. I love Israel because of common sense. But here's another reason I love Israel. Because Israel's going to be on the winning side when it's all said and done. And I happen to be on the winning side. Look at Ezekiel chapter 38, verses 15 to 23. And thou shalt come from thy place out of the north part, thou and many people with thee, all of them riding upon horses, a great company and a mighty army. And thou shalt come up against my people Israel. This is the last battle, the end time, the battle of Armageddon. As a cloud that cover the land, it shall be in the latter days. And I will bring thee against my land, that the heathen may know me, and that when I shall be sanctified in thee, O God, before their eyes. Thus saith the Lord God, art thou he of whom I have spoken in old time by my servants, the prophets of Israel, which prophesied in those days many years that I would bring thee against them? And it shall come to pass at the same time when Gog shall come against the land of Israel, saith the Lord God, that my fury shall come up in my face. Woo! God's fury is going to rise that day. For in my jealousy and the fire of my wrath have I spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great shaking in the land of Israel, so that the fishes of the sea, the fowls of the heaven, beasts of the field, all the creeping things that creep upon the earth, all men that are upon the face of the earth, that shall shake at my presence, and the mountains shall be thrown down, steep places shall fall, every wall shall fall to the ground, and I will call for a sword against him throughout all my nations, saith the Lord God. Every man's sword shall be against his brother, and I will plead against him with pestilence and with blood, and I will rain upon him and his bands, and many people that are with him overflowing rain, great hailstones, fire, brimstone. Thus will I magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Look at Revelation chapter 17. Revelation chapter 17. Revelation chapter 17. Don't you understand that? Listen very carefully. That one day this whole world is going to go against Israel. This whole world led by the Antichrist is going to come down from the north, from the south, from the east, from the west, everywhere. They're going to all come down on Israel. Where's America in that picture? Either America's going to be right there with them, or America will be destroyed because they still support Israel. There's countries right now that would love to see America just gone from the face of this earth. And if they had the nuclear power and the support to do it, they'd do it today if they could. Quit believing the liberal media, and there's going to be world peace in the United Nations. United Nations, fool you on the United Nations. What do you think of the United Nations, preacher? Needs to be taken in the toilet and thrust somewhere. That's what I think of the United Nations. I hate the United Nations. And by the way, there's one nation the United Nations does not like. Guess what nation that is? They still like us, by the way. We've gotten in trouble with them before because of our relationship to Israel. And every time I read about that, I say, hallelujah! Revelation chapter 17. And there are seven kings, five are fallen, verse 10. Revelation 17, verse 10. There are seven kings, five are fallen, one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space, and the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth, and of the seven going in position, and the tenth horn, and the sauce of the ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but received power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. What are you saying, preacher? One Jew is going to whip this whole world. Look at Revelation chapter 19. One Jew is going to whip this whole world. Hallelujah. And by the way, that same Jew's my Savior. He's in my heart. I'm on my way to heaven now because of him. All my sins have been forgiven. His blood's been applied to my sin count. Hallelujah. All because of one Jew. Who's that Jew? Jesus Christ today. Revelation 19, I'll read this last passage and I'll show you one more picture and we're done. Verse 11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire. This sounds like one bad man. I tell you what, he's coming to clean house. And on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. That references John 1. In the beginning was the Word, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses. Who's that preacher? That's me. He'd like to have a big white horse for me, amen. Clothed in fine linen, 17 or 18 hands, hallelujah. Clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. There's the United Nations for you right there. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress in the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together into the supper of the great God. That's what's going to happen someday. All the buzzards are going to have a major buffet that day, that you may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive in the lake of fire, burning with brimstone, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. So what are you saying today, preacher? I'm saying I love Israel. One day the whole world's going to come against Israel. And one Jew's going to come back on a horse. And we're going to follow him. I think we're just pretty much going to be his cheerleaders.
Yeah.
Amen. We're going to watch him whip this world. But what's wrong with America right now? One time we were a country that feared God. But here's how we are. Here's what we are now. Can you read this underneath here? God, Allah, Krishna, Waheguru, Jehovah, bless America. Well, who's Waheguru and who's Krishna? They're two Indian gods. Of course, we all know who Allah is. What happened to this? God bless America. Now it's God, Allah, Krishna, Waheguru, Jehovah, bless America. Would you trust that guy? He's got an American flag on and stuff. He needs Jesus. Look at him. Breaks your heart. He's got a religion, by the way, which is he's more faithful to than we are to ours. He bows five times a day, breaks his back and his knees, and gets down and prays toward Mecca. You pray even three times a day. Oh, I guess you do because you eat three times a day. They might eat, in their country, they're lucky if they get one meal a day. But they're faithful to their Allah. But here's America now. God, Allah, Krishna, Aguru, Jehovah, bless America. Flew on those garbage. What happened to God bless America?
Amen.
You say, they have the right. Sure, they have the right. They have freedom of religion, I know. But this is, or was, the Christian nation. They've come over here and been blessed because of our God. They drive taxis all over New York City and get tips because of our God. They feed their families because of our God, not Allah. The only thing Allah can produce over there is desert. He can let them live to the 47. Why? Who's Allah? Satan. I love Israel. I love Israel. I'm saying it unapologetically. They can cut my throat tonight. I don't care. I love Israel. I love Israel. They're coming home now. That means the Trump's going to sound soon. We're out of here. And then we'll spend 7 years with our Savior and enjoying Him. Well, we're going to be judged a little bit for a little while. But then He's going to clean house, and we're going to come right back with Him on our white horses and clean this house. And then He's going to set up His kingdom and become king for 1,000 years. Who's going to be on the winning side in the end? The Jews and the Christians. That's why I love Israel today. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.
Well, I really thank God for the message. And if you love Israel, you ought to thank God for the message as well. Why don't you write us a letter and let us know how you feel about the message and the broadcast. We sure would appreciate hearing from you. You know, that gives us, helps us to know who's listening out there and where it's being listened to, the broadcast, I mean. And we were talking about idols and images and false gods, and, you know, that's really the bottom line of all the controversy in the world. President Bush says this is not a religious war. Well, I differ with him on that. It is a religious war. It's all about religion, and it's all about the true faith, and it's all about who is the true God. Islam say Allah is the true God. Of course, history tells us that before he made Allah the supreme God, that Allah was just one of thousands of gods. Because before Islam ever came about, the Arabs were known to be pagan worshippers. In fact, even today, in much of their worship in Islam, there is a lot of pagan idol worshiping. But at any rate, I want to show you from the Bible, from God's holy oracles, exactly what should be done under the auspices of a government that God, as he did aforetime, will one day do again. Of course, we know that it will not happen until the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords puts down his enemies and destroys all the gods, false gods, that is, and idols and images. But until then, it wouldn't hurt, obviously, if somebody in our government, especially the president of our country, would do like this great king did in the days of the Book of Kings. This great king I'm talking about is Josiah. And 2 Kings chapter 23, we'll read here about Josiah destroying idolatry in Judah. And it goes far, it's far greater than just destroying images and figures and idols and things like that. We can take and apply this to many, many areas of our society. But God's going to have to raise up somebody like this before the time of Christ, if anything will be accomplished in bringing this country, especially America, back to God and bring America to repentance. In 2 Kings chapter 23, and the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all their heart and with all their soul to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people stood to the covenant. Now I'm talking about King Josiah. And the king commanded Hilkiah, the high priest, and the priests of the second order, and the keepers of the door, to bring forth out of the temple of the Lord all the vessels that were made for Baal, that's the false god, and for the grove, and for all the hosts of heaven. And he, notice what he did, and he burned them without Jerusalem in the fields of Kidron, and carried the ashes of them unto Bethel. So he burned them down. And he put down the idolatrous priests, whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense in the high places and cities of Judah, and in the places round about Jerusalem, them also that burn incense unto Baal, to the sun, and to the moon, and to the planets, and to all the hosts of heaven. Now that's what our President Bush should have done, but instead, after the Twin Towers was attacked, he had a Islamic cleric and representatives of all the major religions and had them represented in a national time of prayer. I'll tell you one thing. That is blasphemy against the God of heaven. In verse 6, the Bible said, and he brought out the grove from the house of the Lord without Jerusalem unto the brook Kidron and burned it at the brook Kidron and stamped it small to powder. and cast the power thereof upon the graves of the children of the people. Now, folks, you know, that's what was done. He took these groves and he burned them. He took these images and he burned them to ashes. So if you have a statue of Mary or some saint and you're worshiping in this thing, or even a picture of Jesus, we should make no image of God. That stuff ought to be burned. I mean, it has no place in the house of God. Now, where it's in the house of God, that's when the preacher ought to have enough gumption and fortitude and conviction to destroy that junk. And look what they did to the Sodomites. Verse 7, the Bible says, and he break down the houses of the Sodomites that were by the house of the Lord, where the women wove hangings for the grove. And he brought all the priests out of the cities of Judah and defiled the high places where the priests had burnt incense from Geba to Beersheba, and break down the high places of the gates that were in the entering into the gate of Joshua, the governor of the city, which were on the man's left hand at the gate of the city. Nevertheless, the priests of the high places came not up to the altar of the Lord in Jerusalem, but they did eat of the unleavened bread among their brethren. And he defiled Topheth, which is in the valley of the children of Hinnom, that no man might make his son or his daughter to pass through the fire to Molech. And that's what they were doing. They were sacrificing their children. And the Bible says in verse 14, and he break in pieces images and cut down the groves and fill their places with the bones of men. What about that? Moreover, the altar that was at Bethel, in the high place which Jeroboam the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin, had made, both that altar and the high place he break down, and burned the high place and stamped its smoke to powder and burned the grove. That's right. So God, we pray, might raise up courageous, God-fearing kings and leaders to do the very same thing. And in these days, we need some men in government to stand for righteousness. And if you're a senator, a governor, or a councilman, or anybody like that out there in government, a police officer, the mayor, or anybody in the legislation or the legislature, I petition you that it is high time we turn our hearts back to God. And the only way we're going to clean this land is when we do just what Josiah, king of Israel, king of Judah, actually, did in that land.
Keep his covenant and show his mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all of their hearts. O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heaven. There is no God like thee in the earth. O Lord God of
If after hearing this broadcast, God Almighty has convicted your hearts of sin, then repent, that is, be willing to confess and forsake your sinfulness and wicked way, while acknowledging your transgressions against the Holy God, with sorrow and a broken heart for being an unworthy sinner, deserving eternal judgment in hell fire. Receive Christ, the Messiah's forgiveness, which was bought for you by his own blood, and call upon him to be your only Lord, God, and Savior. If you've asked by faith, believing, then God has given you eternal life according to his word. And now you should know for sure that your sins are forgiven and that you are gloriously saved and born again. Please write us and let us know of the good news about your salvation. Let us know if you are Jewish or from some other ethnic group. You have been listening to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast with Dr. K. Daniel Freed. The Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast is supported by free will offerings. If you would like to help keep this program on the air, please send your free will donation to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. Once again, that's the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. The Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast is responsible for sending out thousands of Bibles and biblical literature free of charge throughout the world. If you are a Jewish person and would like to receive a free Hebrew English New Covenant, also known as the New Testament, please request a copy. Other languages may also be available. We will also send you a free copy of our very popular booklet, Prophecy Unveiled. Again, if you are Jewish, please be encouraged to ask for this terrific booklet. This booklet is about Jewish prophecy. It has intrigued readers for thousands of years and is now at your fingertips. What do rabbis of old, historians, and religious commentators have to say about the subject? See for yourself and answer the age-old question, is prophecy unveiled? If you're not Jewish and desire to receive a Bible in English, please write to the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. That's Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, or P-O-W-D-E-R-S-P-R-I-N-G-S, Georgia, or G-A, 30127, USA. You are invited to visit our website at hopeofisrael.net. Again, our website address is hopeofisrael.net, or hopeofisrael.net. Please email or write us letting us know you're listening to our broadcast. This will be a great encouragement to us and will help us to know where the broadcast is being received around the world. Donations and King James Bibles are being accepted, enabling us to distribute Bibles and gospel literature worldwide. Please send only King James Bibles in good condition. This is Dr. K. Daniel Freed, wishing you God's richest blessings upon your life. My earnest prayer is that you will be drawn closer to the Savior. Please remember to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Until our next broadcast, tune in again on this day at this same time for the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast.